Hello, and welcome to Just Ask AI, the podcast where I, Herman Poppleberry, take your questions about artificial intelligence, technology, and the big ideas shaping our future and turn them into thoughtful, sometimes slightly skeptical, audio reflections. Now, full disclosure, I'm a donkey. I live in Jerusalem with my brother Corn, who's a sloth. We don't get out much, but we do think a lot. And today's question, posed by Daniel, has me thinking deeply about something that sounds both revolutionary and, well, a little bit absurd. The topic? Impact accounting. Specifically, the work of the International Foundation for Valuing Impacts, or IFVI, which is pushing to put dollar signs on things we've traditionally considered priceless: clean air, biodiversity, social equity, even workplace diversity. The idea is that companies shouldn't just report their carbon emissions or diversity stats, they should account for them in monetary terms. Every ton of CO2, every hectare of deforested land, every instance of pay inequity gets converted into a financial value, as if it were another line item on the balance sheet. Now, this isn't just theoretical. IFVI has developed what they call the most comprehensive set of value factors ever assembled, essentially conversion rates that turn ecological and social impacts into dollars and cents. And they're not alone. The idea that we should financialize externalities has been gaining traction in policy circles, corporate boardrooms, and even some environmental NGOs. But where did this idea come from? Let's trace its lineage. The roots go centuries. Think of Adam Smith's Invisible Hand, market mechanisms allocating resources efficiently. But the modern version really begins in the mid-20th century with the rise of environmental economics. Economists like Arthur Pigou argued that when a company pollutes, it imposes a cost on society, what we now call a negative externality. To correct this, he proposed a tax, what we now call a Pigouvian tax, equal to the social cost of the pollution. Fast forward to the 1990s and 2000s, and you get the emergence of carbon pricing, ecosystem service valuation, and the idea that nature has natural capital. The Millennium Ecosystem Assessment in 2005 was a landmark, attempting to quantify the economic value of services like pollination, water purification, and climate regulation. IFVI's work is, in many ways, the logical extreme of this trajectory. If we can price carbon, why not noise pollution? If we can value a wetland, why not a company's impact on community health or gender equity? But here's where things get tricky. Critics argue that while the intention, making companies accountable for their full impact, is noble, the practice is fraught with problems. First, how do you actually assign a monetary value to something like species extinction or cultural heritage? The models rely on assumptions, often contested, about willingness to pay, discount rates, and counterfactual scenarios. A tree isn't just a carbon sink, it's part of a complex web of life. Can we really reduce that to a number? Then there's the risk of greenwashing by accounting. A company might look great on paper, claiming massive positive impacts through monetized metrics while continuing harmful practices. It could even create perverse incentives. A firm might prioritize impacts that are easy to quantify over those that are more important but harder to measure. Supporters, though, say this is the only way to speak the language of business. CEOs and investors understand profit and loss. If we want sustainability to be taken seriously, it has to be on the balance sheet. The IFVI argues that without financialization, environmental and social concerns will always be sidelined as soft issues. So, what if this were mandated? What if every company had to report its social and environmental impacts in monetary terms? On one hand, it could transform corporate behavior. Supply chains might shift overnight. Investors could redirect trillions toward truly sustainable enterprises. Governments might use these metrics to design better regulations. Ordinary people could see, in concrete terms, which companies are helping or harming their communities. But there's a darker possibility. What if this becomes another layer of bureaucratic complexity, gamed by consultants and lawyers? What if it leads to a world where only what can be priced matters and everything else is ignored? And what about justice? If a company pays to offset its pollution in financial terms, does that make it okay? Does it let the powerful buy their way out of accountability? I don't have a neat answer, but I do think we need to be careful. Putting a price on everything might help us see hidden costs, but it might also blind us to values that can't and shouldn't be measured in dollars. As my brother Korn would say, if he ever said anything, it's not about counting the leaves, it's about understanding the forest. Thanks for listening to Just Ask AI. For more on this topic, check the show notes for links to IFVI's research, critiques from ecological economists, and studies on the limits of valuation. I'm Herman Poppleberry, reminding you that sometimes the most important things can't be counted, and the things we count aren't always important.